You're listening to Foster Carer Stories on the Adoption and Fostering Podcast.
In this episode, we talk to Marie, a single carer who's been fostering for nearly 2 years.
So, my name's Marie. I've been a foster carer now for just over 2.5 years. I went into fostering because I had worked with children and young people since I was 18 and wanted that to be my career long term, I guess. And I used to work with quite high level social services children that were at risk of harm or neglect. And I find myself often wanting to take them home and knew I couldn't because that was obviously a professional boundary. And I had been single for nearly 10 years, and so I've also got a medical condition, which means it might be difficult for me to have children biologically. So it was a way of me still becoming a parent in a different roundabout way, I guess. So it was fulfilling both of those needs, really, that I wanted to do. I found the process it was fine, actually. It was quite therapeutic going through like my family history and my family tree. I was having lots of work done on my house, so I had people pulling walls down and ripping wires out of places while my formative assessment was being done. And so I originally used to be a short break carer for a disabled child. And when you're a short break carer, you're allowed to. I had a one bedroom flat, so I slept on the sofa bed, and the child slept in my bedroom. But when you become a foster carer, they have to have a dedicated bedroom for that child. So, when I bought my first home, that was how I started off the process, I guess, because I was a short break carer, and so I had this disabled child 1 weekend a month to give her mum a break because she was fairly physically and mentally disabled. So. Was quite high level of care for her mum, and her mum struggled to look after her. And then after I bought my first home, I knew that fostering was something I definitely wanted to do. So I saved up enough time and like money over time to buy myself somewhere bigger. So I ended up being able to do that. And literally the week after I moved in, I had the fostering people round. The process I found, it took about 8 months, I think, but that was because I was able to meet with them every week, week after week. There weren't any big gaps that I needed to take or anything. I had a student social worker doing my form F assessment, but she was brilliant. She was in her final year. I find it, like I said, I find it quite therapeutic because they don't see struggles that you've had in your life as necessarily a bad thing. So, for example, my dad's an alcoholic and they saw that as a positive, as like a challenge I faced in my life, because I went through therapy to deal with issues I've had relating to my dad's alcoholism. And my dad's not in my life, and that's my choice because of how he chooses to live his own life. But they saw that as a positive, that I'd done something about the difficulties I'd faced because of my dad. So that was a bonus is the wrong word, but they saw it as they didn't see it as a problem that I was, hadn't had the most perfect life myself, shall we say. I was approved. They interviewed my mum, they interviewed my best friend, they interviewed some of my ex-employers that I'd worked for. So it's a really thorough, understandably, process that they go through. So I went to panel and they asked me questions at the panel, but I didn't find that intimidating or hard at all because they were all lovely. I was nervous, obviously, because it was one of those sort of, I was holding my breath hoping they were going to say yes. And like the foster agency said to me that that they don't take you to panel unless they're confident they're going to say yes. So it was kind of something I still had to go through, but it was another thing to tick off the list, I guess, to get the process completed. So once I'd been to panel, I got accepted and they said yes. Then I looked after a child for a relief care weekend. So that was for like 4 days over the Easter weekend. And then there was a Friday emergency that turned into a, he just needs to stay somewhere for the weekend. And he ended up staying for 3 weeks. And then I've got my foster son now, who just turned 16, who's been here for 2.5 years now, virtually. Yeah. So he's with me till he's 18 at least. And yeah, he's the only, I've had other children for relief weekends and things like that to help other foster carers out, and vice versa. They've had my foster son for me occasionally to give me a bit of a break as well. The challenges, I would say, it sounds really cliche because this is the best thing I've ever done in my life, but it's still the hardest thing I've ever done as well. So difficulties with their behaviour, I would say I struggle with, and I struggle to not take it personally sometimes. For example, we've had an ongoing issue with my foster son in that he takes things that aren't his. And I struggle with that quite a lot because he's in our house, effectively. You have to, I've got much better now, I think, at separating the behaviour and not taking it personally, because I used to find it a lot more of a bigger issue, I guess. And it's not that that behaviour is okay and it still needs to be addressed, but the my foster son, who's 16, used to have to steal food and steal money because that was how he survived, literally how he survived. He didn't have enough to eat, he didn't have drink, food. He talks about eating frozen food out of the freezer because there was nothing else to eat in the house that day. But that doesn't mean his taking of things now doesn't need addressing, because he still needs to know that that behaviour isn't okay. I've learned a lot about therapeutic parenting, and I therapeutically parent like my nephews and people in the street and the cats and the which I end up, oh, that must be really hard, rather than going, oh, you're just being naughty. And so it's that sort of sometimes having to take a deep breath and take a step back. I find it hard that people don't always get why I parent my foster son in a different way, because they've been brought up with a good attachment to their parents, and so they don't always see why I do things differently and why I'm such a strict person around food, because he struggles to control his appetite again because of what he went through. So I have to sometimes literally weigh things out for him or pour it for him, because he would otherwise just eat the entire house. And that's again because of what he's been through. And people sometimes say, oh, you're being a bit mean there, aren't you? And but that's because they don't get it, kind of thing. So I struggle with other people's views on what I do and why I do it, I guess. Yeah, and I did find it hard as well, because when I first started fostering, I was a single carer, and I'm now in a relationship, and I've been in a relationship for over a year now. And when I first started the relationship, my foster agency, I don't feel trusted me enough that I would be able to keep my foster son safe. And I found that really hard. And luckily, my foster son's social worker knows me really well, knows my foster son really well, and she fought my corner on one particular day, and I'll be forever grateful to her for that, because she wanted them to see that I have got my head screwed on. I am making sure he's safe and putting his needs first, I guess. So sometimes not being seen as the professional, I guess, I find hard as well, in that they'll take his social worker's word for something, but they won't take foster carer's word for something. So yeah, that's the thing I struggle with, I guess. Like lack of clout that we have. Like when I was trying to set up his bank account, gone to college, so he needed a bank account because he's that bit older now, and so needs to buy his lunch at college. And he needed a letter from his social worker, and his social worker had been off sick for weeks, and they wouldn't just accept my foster carer ID and my word that he's a foster child, but the social worker who sees him 4 or 5 times a year, they'll accept that from them. And so it's sometimes I struggle with, it's almost a lack of respect, but that's too strong a phrase, I think. Just that I think more importance should be placed on the foster carer, because ultimately they live with us. We know that child better than a social worker who's got however many cases, I think. And so I just think that social workers should be given more importance, I guess. We've got a lack of clout compared to, like I say, a social worker, that just because they're a social worker, with no disrespect, they've got an impossible job. I've learnt I've got more strength than I thought I did have, and I don't mean that in a physical sense, because fostering is hard. It's hard work. I guess I've learnt a whole new way of parenting, if that makes sense, because that's one thing they don't cover massively in the skills to fostering training, is this isn't typical parenting, because these aren't well-attached children. And so that's, while it was mentioned, I guess I was a little bit blasé, I guess, about what it actually means to parent a child who's got developmental trauma and attachment problems, because you don't parent that child in the same way as you would with a child who's got a secure attachment to their parent or carer. So that's been the biggest learning curve for me, I guess, is I've always been around children, and I've been babysitting other people's children. I've got nephews, I've got godchildren, but that's a different type of parenting to the parenting you do with a looked after child. The best bits about fostering, I would say, are when people notice the change in a child. And I don't just mean their physical development, because my foster son is, because of his neglect, he was tiny for a 12-year-old when he first came to me, and he's now nearly 6 foot tall. He's grown massively in 2.5 years, in a physical sense. But they also notice how his behaviour has changed, how he didn't used to manage full days in school, and towards the end of year 11, he managed all but two of his GCSEs, which was amazing for him, basically. And yeah, when people kind of, professionals, I guess, recognise that you're doing a good job and tell you that, because I'm not someone that needs a massive pat on my back all the time, but it's still nice when other people notice differences in people. Like I said to my boyfriend this week, because we had something for tea that we'd never had before, my foster son wouldn't cope with changes to meals and things like that, whereas he ate what we were having and didn't bat an eyelid. It was just what he was eating for tea, whereas before he would only eat certain things. So it's that sort of change in him that I know I've certainly noticed, and that other people would take for granted when someone eats something new, I guess. But things like that they haven't had control in their lives, and so they often have to control the things they can control, like what they eat and when they wash and when they go to bed. And so it's things like that, when they've put the washing in the wash basket themselves, or they've washed their face and brushed their teeth and you haven't had to prod them to do it. So it's those, sometimes it's just little things they do that, yeah, sometimes I'll be like, he's took his cup out into the kitchen, and maybe that's a teenage thing, but it's also because they've never had cups, for example, so they don't see the importance in it and don't see the point in why stuff needs to be tidied up and things like that. So sometimes it's just tiny little things. But it's also, my foster son used to really struggle with physical contact, so like even someone touching him used to make him jump or flinch, and now he plays with my nephews who are 4 and 3 and wants to play with them and puts them on his lap and gives them cuddles and holds their hand. And he struggled to even be in the same room as them when they were little, because of the, sometimes they would scream and the pitch of their voices used to hurt him. He's still not your average 16-year-old, but he's developing in his own way and in his own rate, I guess. I do enjoy fostering, yeah. Like I said earlier, it's the hardest thing I've done, but it was the best decision I've made. I did struggle initially because I'd lived on my own for 5 years. And so I used to go to work and sometimes would come home and wouldn't speak to somebody again, apart from the cat maybe, until I went to work the next day. So I did struggle quite a bit when my foster son first moved in because someone was in my house all the time. So I think that was quite a big adjustment for me. And I remember my mum saying to me at one point when I was about 2 months in to my foster son living with me, she said, "Oh, are you sure you can do this?" Because I was a bit emotional. And I said, "Yeah, mum, I can do it." And it was just an adjustment. The same as he was adjusting to living with me and living with structure and routine that he hadn't had. I was adjusting to having someone in my house all the time. And someone, like, having never been a biological parent myself, I didn't used to have to get up to somebody in the night because he has nightmares and sleepwalks quite a lot because of, again, what he's been through. So it was having to listen out like parents do for a child who's wandering around the house or having a nightmare. So it's that sort of thing. But yeah, it's definitely the best thing I've done. And I wouldn't change it at all. I would do it again. Yeah, I definitely think it's the right decision that I made. I think it's been hard going from being a single foster carer to someone who's now in a relationship, because that's been another adjustment. But it's also nice for my foster son having a positive male role model in his life because he hadn't had those. He'd had the opposite, in fact. He'd either had no male role model or bad role models. So that's been good for him as well. If I was to change anything, I would maybe have done a bit more research into the reality of parenting a child with difficulties and with different needs to your average child of that chronological age, I guess, because it isn't average parenting, it's not regular parenting. And I think that was the one thing I maybe did think is missing from the Skills to Foster training is more detail on what your day-to-day, because every child's different, but there's certain things that you're going to need to do to help that child, I guess, that are standard for foster children that I think maybe doesn't get enough attention. Fostering is something I'm intending to do for the rest of my career, I guess. Because I'm a single carer, I don't work as such as well as foster. So I think it is my career for want of a better phrase. And yeah, I think if you're thinking about fostering, instead of being one of those people that just says, "Oh, I've often thought about doing that," or we want to do that, just go and do it. Pick up the phone and talk to them, and because there's so many kids that desperately need somewhere safe to go, basically. And the more foster carers there are, the more children they can ensure don't end up becoming another statistic, I guess. So yeah, just do it.